I want to talk tonight about a very happy subject. I almost changed my lesson this afternoon after Galen's this morning, because I do have two others that I prepared in preparation for my trip to Wisconsin. But our styles are different enough that I think even if we had the same outline, it would probably come out so different you may not recognize it. But what I want to talk tonight about is heaven. I want to begin by looking at John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Passage that even the younger people than what are in our assembly this evening can probably quote. But Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus, of course, spoke of heaven. Jesus spoke of a place where there's no evil, where righteousness will dwell eternally, where all who live there are righteous, and where evil does not exist. We want to attain to such a goal as God's children. And so, from time to time, perhaps we need to be reminded of the glories of this place and the fact that it's worth the effort that it takes. Nobody is going to be there by accident. It's going to take effort on this earth to be a part of that great assembly that has the ability to enjoy that eternal life. And sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we tend to think, possibly, is it really worth it? It's very difficult. Things get in our way on this earth, and some of the supposed joys of this life look a little bit brighter because they're a little bit more near term. And so, as I said, we need to, from time to time, be reminded of why we do the things that we do, why we take the time and the effort to study, why we put aside, forego the quote-unquote pleasures of this life in the hope of the eternal life. The joys here are passing away, but the joys of heaven are eternal. Jesus, in our passage here in John 14, was talking to his disciples concerning the fact that he was soon to depart. The apostles were concerned about his leaving them. But he reassures them with the words that he's given them here in John 14, 2 and 3. It's his assurance that they're not going to be left alone, but that where he is going, there's going to be a place that is ever so much more glorious that he is preparing for them, that it's worth waiting for. These are words that come to us today as Christians to know that one day we have the hope of being with the Lord. So, what do we need to know about this place? Well, there's just a few things that I want to talk about tonight. One of them being the fact that there will be no evil there. The wicked will not be in heaven. Heaven is a place where all wickedness is gone. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 49, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just. They're going to be separated. We're not going to have to put up with wickedness any longer. We will dwell with the just. There'll be no more death there. Death is a sorrowful thing on this earth. But Jesus assures us that in heaven there is no such thing. In Luke chapter 20, verses 34 to 36, Jesus answered and said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." Equal to the angels is what we'll find ourselves if we will continue in the right path, shunning evil and looking for the glories of heaven. We will be equal with the angels. There'll be no sorrow there. John talks about this in Revelation chapter 21, the first four verses. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth have passed away, and there's no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away.'" No more sorrow. How many times do we sorrow on this earth? How many times do either we suffer pain, discomfort, illness, injury, or those close to us that we care about, that we suffer along with? But in heaven, there will be no more of this. Every tear will be wiped dry. A glorious place of no pain. And the older we get, the more we realize what a great thing that is. But there'd be no sorrow. There'll be no sin. You know, I'm sure it affects you the same way that it does me. When I'm in the workplace or out in the world and you hear the language of people, you hear the filthy mouths. You hear the disregard for God. And you see the actions of others who you wonder how God can allow this world to continue the way it is. But knowing that we're not going to have to put up with that in heaven. There won't be any of that. There will be no sin there. There will be no people stealing things when somebody has their back turned. the glory of a place like this ought to inspire us to live in such a way here that we can be in a place like that. There's no curse in heaven. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants will serve Him. We're going to be where God is. We're going to be where Christ is. We will be in the presence of God for eternity. Can you picture such a blessed place? John tries in the book of Revelation, and throughout the rest of this lesson, we're going to talk about some of the language that he uses to describe this place. But, of course, all we can see is physical terms. But the glories that he pictures here, that we can see, we know the real ones are not physical, but spiritual. And by such, so much greater than this. But even if it were just what he pictures, it would be so magnificent that we'd want to be there. There's going to be no corruption in heaven. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, we will find things that are there. John says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb." You know, I had to think just a moment as I was preparing this and read this verse about our situation here in California right now. There's not going to be a water shortage. There's going to be a crystal clear river of water flowing from the throne of God. Pure water. In the middle of its street and on the either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The beautiful place that John pictures here. Down the street, near the river, and the trees bearing fruit in their season. The tree of life there. The tree that's pictured as having been in the Garden of Eden. The tree that would have allowed eternal life. But the fact that we once again have access to it, that there will be no death, and that we will be there with God and with His Son, walking with them, talking with them, communing with them, praising them for eternity. How much more blessed can it possibly be? The righteous are going to be dwelling there. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, behold, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless." We have a promise. We have a promise of eternal life. We have promise to dwell in eternity in heaven. This is something that we look for, but only if we are being diligent to be found in peace without spot and being found blameless. Heaven's treasures are going to last eternally. There's nothing there to corrupt them, as we read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. No evil can come in there. No evil can be present. No corruptible influence is there, because everything is undefiled. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Where is it that things are incorruptible? Where is it that this inheritance will never fade away? I don't know about you, but the only thing I accept to inherit is going to be a few bills. Okay? And I don't expect there to be a lot of that, but there will be some, I'm sure. That's all I expect to inherit on this earth. But I look to an inheritance that is indestructible, one that's never going to fade away, one that is reserved in heaven, one which will allow us to live in peace, to live in glory for eternity. The fullness of joy is spoken of as being in the presence of God by the psalmist in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. He says, "You will show me the path of life. Your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David talks about the fact that being with God is a pleasure. Being in the presence of God, there will be pleasures forevermore. That there is fullness of joy in the presence of God, where we will dwell in eternity. These things will go on forever. There will be no sorrow. There will only be joy. Those who follow Jesus are righteous. In John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." When we reach that home of eternal joy, we will have it for eternity. There is no chance of falling. There is no one there to snatch them out of His hand. There is no one there to convince them that, oh, God really didn't mean what He said. Satan's destruction is sealed. Satan's end is certain. There is no temptation there, because Satan will be finished. But how do we know that we have eternal life? We have it if we are righteous. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is a promise that we have. This is a promise that's made to the righteous. If we remain righteous, this is a promise that is given to us, and we can be assured because God keeps His promises. And we see this time and time again through the Scriptures. There's not going to be any night in this place. God is its light. The Lamb is its light. There is no night there. There is no place for dishonor. There is no place for lying and stealing and cheating and murder. All of these things we're going to leave behind when we leave this earth. Heaven is an eternal, glorious place. A place that, as well as we try to describe, we still cannot give it the full import of what the blessings are going to be. God dwells there. And that should be another reason that we want to go to this place. In Psalm 11 and verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. God dwells in heaven. If we want to be with Him, that's where we will be. It's His sanctuary. You know, when I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word sanctuary. I give you a dictionary definition, but I'm not going to do that. I'll leave. Not that I don't think they're right. I think they are, and I think Galen does an excellent job of giving us dictionary definitions of words. But I want to show you the picture, try to show you the picture in my mind. There is, not too far from where I grew up, a wildlife sanctuary. There is a nice wide street that goes through it. And there's this beautiful river with trees on each side of it and bushes. Places to have a picnic there. And honestly, I have to say, many times when I picture heaven, I picture this place. Obviously, it's not anything like it, as we've already talked about. Heaven is not a physical place. But it is so beautiful. It is so serene. It is a place of safety for wildlife. It's called the Wildlife Sanctuary. When I picture heaven, as I mentioned at times, I picture this place because it is so beautiful. It's almost beyond describing. We would go there very often to have a picnic and to feed the ducks, feed the geese, some of the other wildlife that was there. It was allowed back then. I don't know that it is today. But heaven is pictured as God's sanctuary. In Psalm chapter 102 and verse 19, "For He looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth." God's place of safety is heaven. God's place of no harm is in heaven. It's a high and holy place where He lives forever In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." This is the place that's pictured as the dwelling place of those who are humble and contrite. Those who seek after God. Those who seek to do His will. Jesus taught in the prayer that He taught to acknowledge the dwelling place of the Father. When He said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 9, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." When we look to the prayer that Jesus spoke and showed us how to pray, we see Him addressing the Father as our Father, and we can call Him our Father if we are His faithful children, and we can look to this glorious home if we are His faithful children, and we acknowledge that this is His home, His dwelling place, in our prayers. Jesus is also with God in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now this is the main point of the things that we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Both the Father and the Son are together there. As we note once again in Revelation chapter 21, this time verses 22 through 25. John says, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light." Pardon me. "And the kings of the earth brought their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there." In ancient times, we see pictures of walled cities. During the daytime, the gates were opened so that business could be done in and out of the city. These great gates were closed at night so that the enemy could not sneak in. That picture is here of the gates being open during the day. But you know what? They're not shut at night. Why is that? Because there is no night. The glories of the day all the time. We, pardon me, we can be with God and with Christ in heaven. But in order to be there, we have to serve Him. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." If we serve God, if we serve Christ, we will be with them in eternity. We will be with them where they dwell, in heaven. But we must be united in Christ, as Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, beginning with verse 22. "The glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one as We are one, in them and You and Me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. If we are one with Christ, if we are one with God, we will be with them, and they will be with us. This was Jesus' prayer, and this will happen for those who are faithful. For those who are one with Him will be with Him through eternity. We will, if we are faithful, be with Him in glory. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall appear with Him in glory. Paul is talking to the saints here, to those who are obedient to the will of God, to those who are obedient to the law of Christ. When He appears, we will appear with Him in glory. We'll also be with Him, Paul talks about, in the resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Those who are faithful, those who shun evil in this life, those who look to the glories of heaven and strive for them, will receive them. We will always be with the Lord. The faithful aren't looking for glory and honor and great things here on this life, no pain, no death, because it's not possible. But the faithful are looking for a heavenly country. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. Those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Those whom the writer had just talked about, those great men of faith, sought God. And they are an encouragement to us to seek God, to seek to do His will, so that we can be like Him, that we can be with Him in eternity. The sons of God will be like Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Think about heaven for a few minutes. Picture that glorious place. Picture that place that we all want to attain. That place that is so great, that place that is so grand, is beyond mortal comprehension. Heaven is the dwelling place of the righteous, those who we like to be with, those whom we prefer to spend our time with. Remembering that we must be in fellowship with God in order to go to this place. Because as we want to be around those who are right, God will only be around those who are righteous. Think of the fact that no evil can enter there. Look at the evil around you and see such a grand and glorious place where no evil can possibly be. Does that help, I hope, to encourage us to live in such a way that we can gain entrance to this eternal life? Does it help you to see a little picture of what you're dealing with here on this life to obtain? To give you the courage to stand in the face of adversity, to say no to Satan and his temptations, to look beyond the suffering of this life, to continue on in strength doing God's work in preparation for eternity with Him. I don't see anyone here tonight who is not already a Christian. But I encourage you, if there's something in your life that stands between you and heaven, now is the time to take care of that. You don't want to lose that grand and glorious and hopeful and lighted for eternity place for some sin, some little thing on this earth. You don't want to let something here hold you back from that. If there's anything in your life holding you back today, now is the time to make that right, corrected in your life, that you might stand justified and ready to enter that eternal home. If we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?